All right. Student section is excited for me. Thank you, guys. Much love. I feel this morning that kind of God's given me a word to share with you this morning, and I'm excited to be here. I even wore my bow tie for you guys, and that's tough to do when you don't have much of a neck. So thank you. Someone told me my transformation into a cartoon character is almost complete with the mustache and the comb over and the bow tie. So anyways, glad to be here this morning. Real quick, if you guys didn't know this, anytime any preacher gets up to speak, the more you amen or the more you say all right or the more you say preach it, brother, or whatever it is you got to do, the better we preach. So hearing that, it's going to be great. I can tell you that much. It's going to be fun. All right. I have one. Okay. I'm going to start telling stories now. I have a friend in his church, and he said when he gets, or the preacher starts preaching good, there's a lady, she just stands up, crosses her arms, and goes like this. So if you want to do that, whatever. If you got your Bible this morning, go to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, and while you're doing that, just to talking about our Denver missions trip, we made a kind of a highlight video that we didn't get to show you this morning, but we're going to post it online, find a way to post it online, so probably through our Facebook page or Vimeo or whatever it is, you could have an opportunity to check that out and see it. Once again, what a cool opportunity. Thank you guys for helping us go. Book of Mark, chapter 4. Verse 35. Anybody glad to be here today? Okay, just checking. All right. Goes like this. Mark 4, verse 35 says this. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he asked him, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Can we pray this morning? God, we love you. We thank you so much. God, I pray that you will just speak to our hearts this morning. We pray that you'll challenge us today. God, we pray that we would leave here today just refreshed and excited to serve you once again, or daily, God. I thank you that football is about to start and baseball is almost over. And God, what a great sport you created. And we just thank you this morning for meeting with us in this place. You are so good. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys grew up doing road trips with your family? Anybody? Road tripping it? Like, my family, we didn't fly to places because we were poor. We drove. We drove everywhere. We loved to see the scenery, and it was great, but road trips eventually get boring, right? Especially if you're going a long distance. Road trips eventually get boring. Maybe in this room today, you've done this. Maybe your kids have done this, or maybe someone you know has done this on the trip. I know recently for a fact that our students do this when we take trips or go to an event, but I think it's universal. Everyone has said it. Everyone has done it. So we'd be driving down the road. My dad would be driving. My mom would be riding shotgun. And my brother and I would be riding in the back. And he's here today and drove all the way up from Tulsa, him and his family. So I'm glad he's here today. But my brother's kind of a know-it-all. And he's a great dictator. He would have made a great communist. He's just fun to ride in the back seat with, not really. And I remember one summer we had our 1980s GMC conversion van. The thing was golden and white. My dad had the CB radio. His handle was the Golden Goose. It's like, Dad, could you be any cooler? But anyways, one summer we're driving from Oklahoma to California. Yeah, what a long, crazy trip that was. And I don't know why, but it just comes out. My children do it. Our students do it. Maybe you've done it before, and this generational sin has been passed down from generation to generation, but we're driving in the car, and I'm bored in the back of the van, and I yell out, Dad! And I think he knows what's coming next, and he just, yes, son. Are we there yet? And it was just silence, as if my dad was thinking, God help me. My children are idiots. You know, I don't know what it was. And like, as a dad, I've done this, or I've wanted to say, do this. You think to yourself, you want to say, is the car stopped? Look around. When the car stops and you open the door and get out, that's when we're there. Of course, we're not there. We're still moving, and we're not there. Like, what is your problem? And like my dad did the old reaching behind, like trying to grab us. Anyways, like, what is your problem? And of course, as a kid, you know you're not there. You know you're not there. Youth, we're not there. We're not there. Don't ask, please. But what you're trying to say is, you know, I've done everything that I know how to do. I've counted all the cows. I've played I Spy. I fought with my brother. We played Slug Bug. I took a 5-minute nap. We set a barrier down the middle of the van. Like, this is my side. This is your side. Do not cross this side. I've done everything I know how to do. So what I'm really telling my dad is that I'm bored. I'm bored. That by that time, I've listened to both sides of my Carmen Champion cassette tape on my yellow Sony Walkman, some Petra, maybe some MC Hammer or Aerosmith. My mom didn't know about those. And I've done everything that I know how to do. And maybe this morning, have you ever asked God that question? Are we there yet? Hey, God, are we there yet? And I don't know how it sounds to you, but to me, God has this kind of low, deep, bravado kind of voice.
Yes, son.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if your God is like, yes, son, you need to get a new God. You need to figure something out. But God has this deep, low, bravado voice to me.
Yes, son.
God.
Yes, son.
Are we there yet? Have you ever asked that to God? The point is, you know you're not there. You know you're not there. Wherever that there is for you, maybe it's that spiritual breakthrough. Maybe it's that plan. Maybe it's that calling. Maybe it's that vision. Maybe it's that purpose, that mission that God put on your heart. Whatever it is, you know that you aren't there. And your spouse knows that you're not there. And your friends know that you're not there, but maybe it just kind of slips out in a moment of honesty with God. Are we there yet? And as children of God, all of our theirs are different. All of our theirs are different, and we know we aren't there. We ourselves, we know we're not there, but we're trying to get there. And I don't know what that there is today for you, but you do. You know where it's at. You know what it is. God, are we there yet? And in other words, God, I've done everything I know how to do. We should be there by now. Are we there yet? And what happens in this communication information age we live in is that we start to look at other people who seem to have it all together. And we say, it looks like that person has found their there. They seem to have a good life, and they seem to have it all together. And we try to do what they're doing, and we incorporate other people's concepts or the things that they're doing, and it doesn't seem to work. God, I've done everything I know how to do and everything they know how to do, and it's not working. Are we there yet? What I would love to do is today is to tell you when you will be there. I would love that, but I have no idea. I don't know. It's that. That's what I love about this passage that we're looking at today. It says, then and when. Those are the words, those two words are so ambiguous. Then they crossed over to the other side. When they crossed over to the other side. The then and when is, it's when it is. And the amazing thing about those that story is that there's no real timeline. There's no real timeline there. We don't know how long it took for them to get from one side to the other side. We don't know, but the truth is that we don't know the then and then the when, and then neither do I. I'm lost. The then, when, then. And we don't know that. And someone will say, what you need to do is you need to do these seven steps to help you find your other side, to help you find the other side. And when we start to make God a mathematical equation, he'll make sure that it doesn't work, because this is about a relationship. A relationship with God is unpredictable, more unpredictable than being married to a female. God, thank you for that great creation that we don't understand it. But it's great. Then when we start to make God a mathematical equation, it's not about that. It's about a relationship. Once we make it about an equation, we won't need God anymore because we've cracked the code. We understand it now. We get it. And what do you do when you aren't where you used to be, but you're not where you're supposed to be? I mean, I'm not who I used to be, and I'm not where I used to be, but at the same time, I'm not where I want to be, and I'm not where God told me to be, so what do I do in the meantime? There may be some of us in this room, you find yourself today in the meantime. That's where you're finding yourself today, and you and I need to get together because we can relate. The problem with the meantime is that we live in a highlight-oriented world. Not so much is made of the meantime. ESPN does not show what goes on in the meantime. We don't watch guys eating breakfast on the morning of game day. We just watch the touchdowns or the home runs or the great catches or the great plays or the dunks and the three-pointers. And we live in such a highlight-oriented society and culture that nothing is made of the meantime. Because of that, we think we're doing something wrong, or we have failed if we find ourselves in the meantime. So what happens? We come to church and someone walks up to you and says, hey, how are you doing? And you're like, oh, I'm so blessed. God is good. What we don't want to tell them is that I'm in kind of a meantime moment. Nobody's like that. Nobody does that. I know that God is good, but are you good? You see, history doesn't record the meantime. Have you noticed that? So kind of back to our scripture. These disciples, they find themselves not where they used to be, but at the same time, they're not where they are supposed to be. I've grown up in church, been in church all my life, and I've probably been to more church services than you've had cups of Starbucks coffee. And I've heard so many stories and so many sermons about the meantime. And they say, well, you haven't done this or that, or you haven't declared this, or if you do these things right, then you'll whatever it is. And I found that you can do everything right all the time, but there will still be some in the meantime moments. Think about the Apostle Paul. He gets radically converted. Like at one point he's killing Christians, and he gets knocked off of his donkey. He goes blind, and then all of a sudden Jesus shows up, and he sees Jesus, and he changes his name from Saul to Paul. And how many of you guys think he's ready to preach after that? No. 3 years he spent in Arabia and Damascus, and he was silent in the meantime. Jesus, from approximately 12 to age 30, it's in the meantime, we don't know much about that. I think in the meantime matters to God. Those in the meantime moments matter to God. What happens in the meantime is the key to that breakthrough, the key to that vision, the key to that passion, the whatever it is that you're looking for. And so back to our scripture real quick, just some observations to make it simple for us to get ourselves to the other side. But apart from God, we'll never get to that next step. We cannot do it on our own, and only by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. That's a good time to say amen. The thing is that we get embarrassed of our meantime. We get embarrassed of it. So maybe we fabricate stories of how good we're doing. We get together with a group of friends and we're hanging out and we're talking. Hey, how are you doing? Having coffee together. Oh, I am so blessed. God is so good. My baby sleeps 12 hours a night. I'm not bragging, but mine does. My teenagers obey everything I ask them to do. They're always home before curfew. They never talk back. My spouse does not snore or steal the blankets. Oh, God is so good. And what happens is we start to manufacture the other side. We're so embarrassed that we start to make things up. Summer is here. It's almost ending. You guys ready for that? It's been a good summer. But sometimes us guys, men, we forget to work out. And somehow we end up at the public swimming place. Maybe it's the lake or the ocean or the pool. For me, yesterday it was oceans of fun, and it was oceans of not fun. And like, guys are expected to take their shirts off when they go swimming. And so you show up at the pool and you forgot to work out, and what do? You do what every other guy does. You suck it up. For hours at the pool. Hey, how you doing? You got to talk like that because you can't breathe and you suck it up. And then people try to talk to you and you can't even talk because you can't breathe. And so finally, by the way, I did go to Oceans of Fun yesterday, and I was a little worried about being a little chubby and a little pale. 5 minutes into being there, I felt like a rock star. So, but so anyways, you're holding your breath and you're at the pool and you're walking around like this, and you're turning purple, and like finally you get back to the car, and you all of a sudden you sit down and you're like, my God, woman, we cannot stay at the pool for hours. I cannot hold my breath that long. And you get together with a group of friends, and maybe it's people that you seem close to, and maybe a group of friends that nobody's been actually even been honest with each other for years. And finally, this group of friends, group of people that you think you can trust, all of a sudden one bold person speaks out in the group and they say, can I be honest? Can I be honest, guys? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. And you're just like, I want to do crack. Like, I'm really considering run away. My wife hates me. My kids hate me too. And I'm just not doing very good at all. I don't want to do crack, by the way. But maybe that's you. That's a whole different story. But somewhere along there, you're just like, I am not doing good at all. Everybody hates me. My job stinks. We're way behind on the bills. I'm not doing good at all. And at that point, everybody in the group breaks down and they're like, man, I feel that way too. I feel that way too. I'm not doing good at all. And that's the first step to getting to the other side, is admitting that you're not there. And I am in the meantime. Like, lay hands on me and pray for me. Push me over if you have to. Whatever it is, I am not there. And so back to our scripture. What did they do in the boat to get to the meantime? To get to the other side? What did they do in the boat? The only thing that I can find, the one and only thing that I can find that these disciples did while they were in this boat trying to get to the other side, I can only find one thing. I've done my best. I've done cross references. I've looked in the concordances, the commentaries. There's only one thing that I could find that got these disciples to the other side. They didn't jump ship. They stayed in the boat. I'm sure Peter probably straddled the boat a few times. He's like, I'm out of here, guys. I'm like paddling, you know, whatever it was. God, are we there yet? What's it going to take to get to the other side? Just stay in the boat. Seems simple, right? Just stay in the boat. If you've never felt like giving up, you've been a follower of Jesus for probably less than a week. Stay in the boat. These disciples, these guys, they've got attitudes and they're doubting and they're worried, but they stayed in the boat. They trusted God. There are people here, maybe this morning you might be contemplating giving up, walking out, throwing in the towel, and all you see ahead of you is just clouds building and waves crashing. And it's not looking good. And maybe you forgot, or maybe someone forgot to tell you that sometimes going from this side to the other side can be years, can be weeks, can be months. Just because we're delayed does not mean your dream is denied. That's tweetable. God is true to his word. Real quick, I found out working in youth ministry that you don't get many responses while you're preaching. You don't get many amens like you do in the adult service. Their version of amening is tweeting what you say. So I'll take that. That's tweetable. So just because we're delayed does not mean that your dream is denied. God is always true to his word. Catch this real quick. I love this scripture, Galatians 6, verse 9. It says this, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." I don't know what that means to you, but notice it says in due season. That means it's going to take time. There's going to be some time. Don't get out of the boat. Don't get out of the boat. Sometimes you need a friend who won't let you out of the boat. What do you do in that meantime? You just trust in him. Trust in him and don't get out of the boat, because where he is, that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to end, and if we could have our band come back up so I can sound really spiritual and bring the Holy Spirit with you guys. Could I get you guys to just stand with me? I know you're comfortable, but let's stand for a moment. I'll end with this short story. As a little boy, we would have a family movie night, and we would play board games or card games or whatever it was, because we didn't have TV. So we entertained ourselves. Well, actually, we did in this story. In other stories, I don't have TVs. Bear with me. Anyways, we would play games. It would be family movie night, and we would play games. We'd play board games, whatever it was. We'd chase each other around the house with socks or rubber bands or whatever it is we could do to beat each other up. And then we would play games, and then we'd all settle down and watch movies like Flight of the Navigator or E.T. or Short Circuit, and we just loved these, had our movie time. And sure enough, I would fall asleep on the couch, and something crazy would happen in the morning. I would wake up in the morning, and I would be in my bed, and I'd open the covers, and I've got my pajamas on. And you know, when you're a little kid, you wake up saying, "This is crazy. How did I get here?" when you didn't have enough strength, when you were tired, when you fell asleep, your dad found you, picked you up in his arms, and took you to where you needed to be. Some of us, we get so stressed out, so restless, so anxious, so worried, and we want to give up. And all God wants us to do is rest in him. He is everything. He is everyone. He is our source. He is our purpose. He's our all in all. And we want to give up. And all God wants us to do is to rest in him. He'll take you to the other side. And there will come a day when you'll wake up and you'll say, how did I get here? It was by his grace and his grace alone. If you're here today and you're in the meantime, I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. If you're willing to admit that, if you're willing to admit that today, would you just lift a hand? I'm in the meantime. I need God. Man, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm in the meantime. I need those moments. I need God. I'm lost. I need his help. I need his strength. I need someone to rely on, something to rely on. Can we pray for you today? If that's you or you saw someone around you, raise up a hand. Would you just reach out and lay a hand on them and just pray for them as I pray for us all? Can we do that real quick? If you saw someone slip up a hand, just grab them. Bear hug if you need to. Don't do that, really. Let's pray. Jesus, I stand here today with my brothers and my sisters, and I pray.